All right, guys, we want to welcome you back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're just going to go over some quick announcements before we get started with today's service, and let's go ahead and do that now. So with that said, I'd like to redirect your attention to the calendar, Once again, guys, in love, many of you are no longer babes in the faith. Some of you are toddlers. Some of you are adolescents. Amen. Some of y'all are teenagers. And so just like your work schedule, you don't call your supervisor asking him, when did you clock me in to come to work today? We should start becoming a little bit more integrity, if you will, and exercising integrity and diligence to know when your church has soul-winning opportunities and times to clock in for Jesus. Amen. And so with that said, don't forget, every Saturday we meet here at the church, 10 o'clock. We get together for prayer, fellowship. We get ready with a little bit of Bible, and then we get our flyers, and then we get our scripture signs, if you will, and we prepare ourselves to go soul win yesterday, or if you will, every Saturday. Do we have any testimonies from yesterday's soul winning? Anybody out there? Is there someone who would like to share their experience from yesterday? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody. Okay, Sister Katie, come on up here real quick and encourage the church with your testimony of what you enjoyed about the Lord using everyone yesterday. Amen. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. So yesterday we went out witnessing. We just did door knocking, and it was a blessing because we had so many people come out with us. We were able to hit two entire like neighborhoods of apartments. We hit up the inside and then the outside, and it was a blessing. And then towards the mid of it, there was this little boy that Logan, I had asked him to give him a flyer, but he was a little nervous. So we just kept going. We're like, okay, well, we can get their door, you know. So then come to find out, this little boy starts to kind of approach us, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And I was like, you know, we're sharing about Jesus. We're telling people about Jesus and leaving door tags for people. And he's like, can I help too? And I was like, oh, okay. I said, do you go to church, or is your mommy and daddy okay with it? And he's like, I go to New Song. And then he said, and I don't have a daddy. And I was like, oh, so I was like, well, it's okay. You know, good thing your mommy's taking care of you and that you're going to church, and God can be your daddy. And so he's like, I want to help you. And so we're like, oh, okay, maybe you can ask your parents. And then Logan straight up just gave him flyers, and he was on a little scooter, and he started scooting all over. Like, he's like showing us the houses that are in the back that we didn't know of. And like, he's like, there's houses back here. Let's go. Let's go. And he was just like zooming with his scooter. It was pretty funny. I forgot to send Carlos some pictures so we can put them up. But it was just really encouraging to see the little ones, like the young ones. Logan and Gibby, they were just running like competition, trying to like put door tags on the doors and tell people about Jesus. And it was joy, you know, to see everybody together. We were hitting up so many houses, and it was very joyful. It was a very good day of soul winning. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. It sure was a blessing. We essentially had almost all our church come out yesterday. We had Brother Giovanni, Sister Joaquina, Sister Eileen, Gibby, and Logan surprised us. My wife and I, we prayed together, and we went to knock out two apartment complexes, and just to see the young boys excited to do that. They were running to the doors just to, if you will, put a door hanger. And then that little guy that was giving us a hand, that was so awesome to just see his childlike faith wanting to help Christians do something for the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, if a little boy on a scooter can go door tagging and help out pass flyers with a church that's not even his home church, guys, all of you can do something for God. And we were entertaining the idea of, hey, next time, bring your scooter. Amen. It'll help you to go to houses a little quicker, and then you can door tag. Amen. And so, guys, I just want to say thank the Lord that we had that big, if you will, group, and it was a really great spirit, like a family, all of us serving the Lord together. So let's try to keep that momentum going. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves, especially when it comes to working for Jesus. Amen. And the aspect of evangelism. So some other quick announcements. I want to thank God. Last Thursday, we went out soul winning together. Brother Giovanni helped us out as well. And not a lot of reception, a little stony ground, but we had some one-on-ones here and there. And so let's just continue to keep that prayer, if you will, that the Lord will continue to open up a door of utterance for hearts to be receptive to the gospel. So with that said, church, next Saturday, please, if you will, don't be shy to partake with us. Also, the ladies had a good time at their women's fellowship. It was a good time for the sisters to bond together. So again, for these opportunities for you women of the church, please try your best to avail yourself to grow, if you will, with your church family as a bonding, and also to meet other women who love Jesus from other churches that you might, if you will, create a friendship with and a bond with. And then the men came over to my house and we had a men's barbecue. It was a really good time that us guys got together to bond with one another, Brother Giovanni, Felipe, and Gibby, and little Matthew. It was a good time for us men to just have heart-to-heart one-on-one. So let's continue to keep that church momentum going, guys, as far as discipleship, fellowship, and the work of service. I know we can do it, but again, it takes all of us. It necessitates all of us serving together. Amen. So I just want to let you guys know that was a blessing. Don't forget, guys, that at the last Sunday this month, the 28th, Brother Shannon Scott is going to come minister to our church from Corona. So I'm looking forward to that special guest visit. And then today, after church, we are going to immediately leave to Santa Ana to go visit my Bible school teacher, Brother James Knox. He's preaching at a church up there, Central Baptist Church. A little small church just like us, and they have a good size, if you will, congregation. It was a blessing to befriend some of them, rekindle relationships with old friends, meeting the pastor for the first time. And I want to thank God for the surprise attendance of Brother Giovanni and Sister Kina last night. We had a good fellowship. It was a good time, amen. So I want to encourage anyone here today, if you want to join us again, we're going to leave after church. So just let me know. The service is at 5 today. It's a little earlier. And so we'll be back here in Oceanside a little bit earlier. Unlike last night, it was a little later in the evening. So 5 o'clock is a service. If you want, I can text you the directions. About an hour, if you will. If traffic is okay, it's about 45 minutes. But if it's traffic, about an hour. And so just anticipate that. But it should be a blessing if you can attend. And then those are the announcements. Look forward to what the Lord has for us today. Later, study blogs. Don't forget, these are being made by me, if you will, for the benefit of your studies, if you will, to help you with Bible doctrine, Bible teaching, things like that, guys. Amen. So please take advantage. You guys already know Facebook, YouTube, podcasts. If you're not subscribed, please. It's kind of unique. If this is your home church, you're not subscribed, share and like. Again, let's be supporting of our home church here. If you need prayer, don't forget, submit a prayer request online or call me, you men. And then sisters, call Katie. We want to be a family that prays together so we can stay together. Amen. And then last but not least, if you're a member of this church, I hope you are, please remain faithful in your financial giving, whatever you purpose on your heart, to just say, Jesus, I want to thank you. This is how much you mean to me. Thank you for my paycheck. Thank you for breath in my body, my muscle ligaments still attached to my body so I could go to work, so that way I could have something, not just to take care of my family, take care of my debts, give to Caesar what Caesar, but to be a blessing to this church that I attend here. Thank you for my pastor. I want to continue to support this work that's been a blessing to me. So just remember the promise, 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. But notice, church, when you get that pay raise, when you get those more work hours, when everything's going well, look at what it says. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So when God provides, he's helping you to keep going. And so don't be surprised when you're not giving and things go haywire in your local personal life, if you will, because you're just telling God, God, I don't trust you enough with this. I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with my Bible, but I don't trust you with my tangibles. And guys, it's all a part of the, if you will, the Christian walk. So just know the Lord's going to take care of you, man. You already know we don't pass the hat between you and God, back there in the box, online, anytime. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get back to our Bible train, the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. It's good to see some of our friends back to church. Amen. We haven't seen in a minute. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that's a blessing. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Let's continue through our verse-by-verse study of the Word of God. And again, it's a blessing to see all of you that are here today. So Galatians 5, I hope you came to church ready for Jesus. I hope you came to church ready to learn from the lips of Christ that he has given, if you will, through the reading of his word and through the hearing of his word. And if you can do that, and if you care, why don't you prove it? Get a physical Bible in your hand. Follow along. Let's put away the distraction of cell phones. Put them on silent. Put them on vibrate. Don't be at church, if you will, playing tic-tac-toe in the background or looking at your social media or Instagram or anything else. Let's be focused with the Lord. Let's let the Lord know that we care about him, and that way we can be changed by the Holy Ghost as he sees that within your heart sincerely. Come to church ready to receive from your Savior. All right, friend. Hope you have your Bible there. Galatians 5. Let's read together, and then we'll pray. Verse number 1, the Bible says, once again, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but here it is, but faith which worketh by love. And so we're going to talk about that. Ye did run well, some of you who received Jesus, some of you who became a Christian, some of you started going to church, some of you started reading your Bible. But who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Notice that. It's an influence that you allow to come into your life. And what does it do? It hinders you from being an obedient Christian. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. That's not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit that will begin to tell you not to read your Bible, not to come to church, not to forgive somebody. That's not Jesus. That's something else. Someone else will talk about that. The Bible says, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So don't worry. Jesus will take care of those that are troubling you in your walk. What is he more concerned about? You and him right now, one-on-one, keeping that relationship going. Verse number 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty 2 times now. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but here it is again, but by love serve one another. I get saved by trusting the gospel that Jesus Christ is God who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I get saved, God gives me power to now love people the way that he loves people, forgive people the way that he forgives people. I get saved, but my skin shade melanin still stays the same color. I get saved, my teeth that are messed up still stay messed up. I get saved, my earlobes don't grow longer. My hair, if you will, continues to be the same. And in other words, my physical flesh still remains the same. But there's a transformation on the inside that God says I can now begin to do that manifests to someone on the outside. And what is that? By love, serve one another. Galatians is going to be talking to you individually about putting all that now into practice. Your personal relationship with God is supposed to be profiting someone else around you. And if your personal relationship with Jesus is not being a help or a profit to someone else around you, then there's something going on between you and him. There's someone that is hindering you from obeying the truth, and that's not of Christ. We're going to talk about what those things might be. Verse 14, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We're going to talk about that. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. It's obvious. It's evident. That is, people around you can see that. By the way, this is not necessarily for a just born-again Christian. This is just general works of sin in the lives of sinners that are evident when they give in to these things. They're these. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, so he already told the believers, as I've also told you in time past, he told them more than once, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Abba, Father, I need your help this afternoon once again to be able to take the Holy Bible and minister to these, your saints, whom you love dearly. God, you love every single Christian here so bad and so much that you wish that men or women were cut off from those who would trouble their walk with you. God, I know you're jealous for every heart today. I know your Holy Ghost is so desirous and eager to help every single Christian brother and sister in this church to love like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, forbear like Jesus, be obedient to the commands of the Father like Jesus. I know you want to do that within every single one of our hearts. But I know that they're not alone in that body. I know there's the old nature in them. They battle with that old man, old woman, every single day. And sometimes, God, that sin distracts us and deceives us by making us think it's someone else around us, but it's not. Your Bible just said, it's the lust of our flesh in us. So, Father, we need the power of the Spirit of God today. We need the Holy Bible to jump off the pages of Scripture, to get into this heart of ours, to convict us, and also to comfort us, to wound us, and then also to heal us so that, God, we can continue to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, to enjoy the liberty that He provided, God. Lord, please don't help us turn back. We don't want to be in bondage. If there's Christians here today struggling with sin, sins, habits, whatever that might mean, God, let them know today, you do not want them to go back. You do not want them to separate themselves from you, Lord. You want them to stay walking in liberty. We need your help. So God, wherever I have a human error in my presentation, may your Holy Spirit take the Bible and give it to their spirit as they need to hear. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Three times in the book of Galatians, the Holy Ghost tells you that you have something called liberty in Christ. Galatians 2:4, liberty that you have in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:1, the liberty with Christ made us free. And then Galatians 5:13, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. Today, my friend, the message title is, Ye Have Been Called Unto Liberty. So if the gospel provided that for you, sinner, when you trusted him, and if his power literally broke the chains, if you will, between you and the law, between you and the power of Satan, if Christ made you free from all that evil, if you will, you want to call it a force, you want to call it a nature, you want to call it an entity, whatever you want to call it today to help you better understand that. If Christ made you free and brought you over here, if you will, in righteousness and holiness and redemption and reconciliation between you and the Father, why do we entertain wanting to go back over here into the darkness, into the shame, entertaining sins and bondage and everything like that? Well, Galatians 5 is going to teach us it's because you have the flesh that you have to still battle with on a daily basis. You have the original you from Daddy Adam's nature that you've inherited that you still have to live with. I want you to imagine with me there are two people living in the same house, and they have completely different spirits, completely different visions of how to set up the house, how to build the house, and two different completely perspectives of how to live life and what's important. Friend, I want you to know that there are two people living in that body of yours. And the Bible says that there's a new creature in that body. But there's the old man that you and I were birthed with into this world that you and I have to battle with on a daily basis. And so the influence, if you will, that begins to move you and I to want to go back to bondage, go back to sin and sinful living, it's no one else around you. It's not the devil or devils. It's not false doctrine. All that might be an influence in your process of decision-making, but in the end of the day, it's your willpower that says, I want to do that. So today, friend, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit said, you have been called into liberty. You need to stay over here. You need to stay over here with Jesus. You need to stay over here where it's good, where there's righteousness, where there's holiness, where there's freedom, where there's love, there's joy, there's forgiveness, there's forbearance. You need to enjoy all that over here. And the next time when the flesh man wants to entertain you to just come back over here, you know, a little bit of adultery, a little bit of fornication, a little bit of hate, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of envy, a little bit of pride. Just know that God said that's going to lead you back into bondage. You will be entangled again. It's going to be difficult for you. But just know He wants you to be in liberty. All born-again Christians have been made free from the power of sin in their bodies, the power of sin outside their bodies, and given the power of Christ in their hearts through the Holy Spirit sent to seal them. You don't have to turn there, friend. I'm just going to read this for you. Acts 26:18, the Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What does the gospel provide us, friend? It provides us power from Satan, power from God, receiving forgiveness of sins, receiving inheritance, and receiving sanctification from who? Jesus, because what does Galatians 5 say? Christ made you free. You see there. So Jesus provides you with all that. So the next time that you and I entertain oh, I did it because, and you fill in the blank, and you point the finger at another individual or the government or, if you will, a temptation through the social media, what have you. No. It's not Christ's fault. It's not their fault. It's your fault because you're saying, God, I know you made me free, but I just want to enjoy that little bit of darkness once again because for some reason, here's how it made me feel that day when I did it. And just remember that all the feelings of the flesh, it's what's going to arouse you to want to go back. And God doesn't want you to go back. He wants you to stay right here in freedom. Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's talk about this, how to stay in liberty. I'm going to teach you a little bit. I'm going to give you a little formula and equation of what I can do to stay in liberty. Brother Carlos, what can you help me to understand from today's Bible study to help me to stay walking in freedom? What are some scriptures that you can show me where the Holy Spirit can teach me how to resist sin in my body so I can continue to enjoy what Christ provided me? All this goodness, all this righteousness, all this love, I'm going to show you today. Romans 6. Turn your Bible there. Bible says, starting here with me now, verse number 6. Romans 6, verse 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, what does it say, church? We should not serve sin. So what does that look like? You and I heard about Jesus many years ago through a fellow friend, family member, online, however you heard the gospel, praise God, you believed in your heart at that moment, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for my sins because I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe the only one who could save me from the wrath of God and the judgment of God to come is Jesus Christ. So now I call upon him. I invoke his name and his authority. Lord Jesus, would you save me? Bible says he saved you. So what happened? There's an operation that took place. The Bible says that God took your original birth nature and that part of you that had sin in there, if you will, and he took that part of you and he crucified it with his son, Jesus Christ. And now in that moment after you died, if you will, there's a supernatural operation that takes place. God immediately creates within you a new man. There's a new heart inside that same body. And that newness of life that you've been given now is the power that Galatians is helping us with Romans. You don't have to serve sin anymore, brother and sister. Bible says you have liberty. Bible says you have freedom from the day you get saved. Here comes the temptation for adultery. Here comes a temptation for fornication. Here comes a temptation for drunkenness. Oh, but not all the outward, brother and sister, that you and I used to do. How about you, brother or sister, who's struggling with anger, wrath, bitterness, pride, envy, covetousness, idolatry? Here comes all those temptations. You know what the Lord said there? You're dead to that. You don't have to entertain that. You don't have to walk in that. It's up to you. Keep reading with me now in Romans 6. He that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we'd be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your where? Mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So where is it? It's in my body. There is still this nature that is within me, whatever you want to call it. You want to call it a force? I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just saying there's something evil in all of us. And the Bible says that that thing wants me to do one thing a certain way. That part of me wants me to continue to enjoy the lust of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5. But there's a new me. There's another part of me that battles that and says, I know I shouldn't commit adultery. I know I shouldn't commit fornication. I know I shouldn't drink. I know I shouldn't. Again, that's the external, right? But for those of us over here that struggle with the emotional internal, I know I shouldn't hold on to this grudge. I know I shouldn't hold on to this pride. I know I shouldn't be lazy. I know I shouldn't. So what is he saying there? You died with Christ. You were raised with Christ. And that newness of life, that new creature in you, gave you now the ability and the power, liberty, to say no to that in your mortal body. Notice that. You can do that. Look at verse number 13. Bible says here, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Brother and sister, a long time ago, you know what you used to do with these hands? You used to do some bad things with these hands. You used to touch women that didn't belong to you. You used to touch a woman before you got married that you shouldn't have touched. You and I did some bad things with our eyes. These are the members of the physical body, what we're talking about here in verse number 13. Some of you did some horrible things with the inner man and the outer man, and only you and God know that. We don't need to confess our sins. We're not the Roman Catholic Church. But I want you to see here. You get saved. And what did God tell you? Start living a life that shows the world you are no longer a dead man. In other words, adultery, no more. Fornication, no more. And then the inner man. Remember the emotions? You no longer have to walk around with anger and pride and hatred and wrath and variance and emulations. And you don't have to continue to be a man of strife and a woman of backbiting and gossips. Why don't you start using these members? Use these hands and use these feet and use these legs and use all that in you as an instrument for God to show somebody out there, I'm alive. I no longer live like a dead man. I no longer live like that anymore. I no longer live like this anymore. I'm alive. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not, he's writing to Christians. Listen now, verse number 16, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So you became a Christian. You heard about Christ. You trusted the gospel. You heard that you had to start reading your Bible. Okay, that's good so far. Check one. You heard you should start going to a church, hopefully a Bible-believing church, but nevertheless, you did the best with what you could. You started going to a church in general. Praise the Lord, you started going. And then you found out over a couple of weeks or months, if you will, you feel this energy, this ecstasy of conversion. I am saved. Praise God. I got Jesus in my heart. I'm so thankful. Man, I'm not going to hell. And maybe some of you guys cried, and maybe you guys felt some of the Holy Ghost goosebumps when you got saved. Whatever that emotional drive is, not a problem. But here's what you figured out. You figured out that, man, that Christian in that church, they made you mad. Man, you noticed some faults in the Christian over there in that church. Made you a little upset. Oh, you saw some faults in your pastor, and I thought a pastor wouldn't do that. I thought a Christian wouldn't do that. You begin to see that still liberty gives us the ability to serve either the flesh or the spirit, and then whatever that Christian chooses in that very moment, you know what the Bible says? That's who you're going to obey, and that's what's going to manifest outwardly. So I want you to understand that even though you are born again and saved, and positionally you are in Christ, you are no longer on your way to hell, you no longer have all the sins that are going to condemn you because the blood paid, that's the call of the atonement, you still have a free will choice as it pertains to whom you are going to obey. So who are you going to obey today? God said you're called into liberty. And how do you practice that? By faith, love, serving one another, or the flesh, serving me. I'm going to continue to live for me. Well, here's what the Spirit of God told us in Romans 6:16. Whoever you serve, that's your master. So you might not be dressing bad anymore, brother and sister, praise the Lord. You might not be watching all those movies again, praise the Lord. But don't think that the devil is necessarily involved with all those outward, horrible, you know, visual things and the acts. Don't forget the inner emotions. Don't forget the anger. Don't forget the wrath. Don't forget the bitterness. Don't forget the murmuring. That's all that invisible stuff. Notice, is that your daddy? Is that your master? Is that your Lord? Or is it Jesus? Just know, whoever you choose to obey, that's who your Lord is every moment. You got Jesus. He's the Savior, but is he your Lord today? Are you letting him govern you, or is it the flesh? Now look at verse 16. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. I know, brother and sister, that you and I did some bad things with these hands. I know we touched people we shouldn't. I know we embraced things we shouldn't. I know we received things into our life and our heart and our body, drugs, alcohol, porn, all those things. I know we did all that with this body man we got. Well, I don't know if you noticed now, but when you got saved, you still got the same hand. When you got saved, you still got the same eyes, the same ears, the same legs. So what do you do now? You use the same hands that one time you used for sin and use it for righteousness. You use the same eyes that one time you used for sin, you use it for righteousness. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose liberty, spirit of God, walking over here, or flesh, body man, old man? It's up to you. So don't forget that truth, friend. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Bible, listen now, all your extra convictions, whether you're a King James Bible guy or not, all I just want to say is this. Whatever else you've added to your life to increase your spiritual living will not stop you from serving the flesh when you want to. Holy Spirit ain't going to stop you. Bible ain't going to stop you. Your spouse ain't going to stop you. Now, your spouse might yell at you. Amen. Anybody out there? Your spouse might give you the look. Amen. Amen. But they're not going to stop you. Because when you exercise your willpower for the flesh, it's really powerful. You give into it, and all of a sudden you feel conviction later. Friend, that's what we're talking about. It's your personal willpower to do so. When sinful thoughts and habits are entertained without restraint or arrest of attention, you will give into it. But when those same thoughts and habits are controlled and submitted to God through prayer and directed by the Word of God for action, the Holy Spirit will help you to resist the flesh, the devil's presence of temptation. I'm going to show you that. So you can live and do righteousness. So now let me start giving you the equation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and then James chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and then James chapter 4. So what do I do, Brother Carlos? I know what you're talking about. Obviously, I've been experiencing that all week, amen, if you're real with me, amen. I've been experiencing that battle. I got that sin in me. I know what you're talking about. That old man creeps up. Obviously, it hinders me from reading my Bible, coming to church, wanting to forgive people. It is hindering me. So what do I need to do? I'm going to give you some formulas, if you will. I'm just going to give a little equation. And if you trust the Bible, and if you trust Jesus, and if you let the Holy Ghost govern you, the Bible says you will not fall. You won't give in if you do this now. So it's up to you. Who are you going to serve? Who is going to be your Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible starts in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So let me tell you right now, you will not be able to conquer sin with your physical strength, physical willpower, and physical abilities. Let me give you one quick example. A long time ago, a friend of mine, we're going to another church, and he said he was being spiritual, military fellow, hardcore dude. I understand he's got some more things going on that the average civilian doesn't, so I get that. I'm going to show grace. But he said that in his refrigerator, he was struggling with alcohol, hardcore drinker. So what'd he say? I just leave one beer in there, man. I'm like, why do you leave one beer in there? Because I get to look at it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do it no more. It don't work like that, amen. It don't work like that. You're not just going to look at the woman over here. I'm just going to look at her. I'm just not going to do it no more. I'm not going to look at the porn. I'm not going to look at the drunken. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. It's not going to work like that. You don't just keep a little bit of leaven and just to remind you, like, I'm not going to, no. You got to completely purge that. I'm getting ahead of the notes, but just know, you don't war after the flesh with the flesh. You can't overcome sin with your natural strength and your natural power. It ain't going to happen. It's going to take some supernatural strength that you and I are going to learn today from the supernatural Bible. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Not your pastor, not your husband, not your spouse, not your best friend, not your cousin, not your uncle, not your aunt, not your friends, not your children, not that one guy on YouTube, that one girl on YouTube, not anyone else. That's where the problem is with us. We try to resist sin through someone else or something else, and before you know it, you might have a little victory for a season, but then when you recognize and you realize that that power is only going to last for so long because it is not God, no wonder why you fall again. No wonder why you mess up again. It's only going to come through God. So, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I need God. It takes God. How do we do that? Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what does it look like, brother? I wake up. I have the old man. I wake up. I got the new man. I wake up with my King James Bible, blah, 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 fill in blank. That's not what we're talking about. You got the old man right here. You're battling with her. You're battling with him every single day. When the motions of sins are aroused in you within your conscience, you got two choices. You could either control that thought, bring it into captivity, literally into subjection, into control, and you can go to God in prayer And when you're praying to God, you say, Father God, I'm bringing this thing to you because I know Jesus Christ can help me. I know Jesus Christ can deliver me. So here is this thought of temptation. I'm going to give it to you. Here's the adulterous desire I have. Here it is. Here's the fornication thought I have. Here it is. Here's the drunkenness I have. You say, Brother Carlos, I'm not really worried about murdering people on the outside, committing adultery. Okay. But you still have pride in your heart. You still have bitterness in your heart. You still have envy, all those things you can't get over with people. So what do? You take a hold of that thought. You go to God in prayer and you say, Lord Jesus, I know what your Bible says, that you died for my sins. You rose again, but you want to deliver me. So Lord, here it is. I'm bringing it to you. May you please deliver me from this thing. I don't want to do it no more. According to God, that's how you're going to walk in liberty. According to God, that's how the Holy Ghost is going to help you to resist the flesh and the devil. But what's the second thing? The thought comes. The motions of sin are aroused in my body, but I entertain it. I don't control it. I don't go to God in prayer. I don't read my Bible. I don't call Brother Carlos or Sister Katie for help and advice. I meditate on it. Why? Because the flesh, remember the old man? He or she's telling you, it feels good, doesn't it? Feels good just to give into this anger, and feels good just to give into this wrath. And man, doesn't that fornication feel a little good over here? Doesn't that thought, desire, just, it's good. Yeah, just a little bit of pleasure over here. Let's just stay over here in darkness. No one knows. It's just you and I. Before you know it, you can't change. You're not producing fruit, and therefore you're staying in bondage. So what do I need to do? I need to control me by taking a hold of that thought. I need to go to God in prayer, and I need to say, Lord Jesus, here it is. Only you can do it. I am bringing it to obey you. Would you please help me? And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to help you. Why? Because the Bible said he will. I'm going to show you. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So that's the first step. What do I need to do? I need to submit to God. I need to submit to God. James chapter 4. Turn your Bible there with me now. Verse number 5. James 4, verse number 5. Bible says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in your wife lusteth in him? Is that what it says? No. The spirit that dwelleth in your husband? No. And your pastor? No. The spirit that dwelleth where? In us lusteth to envy? How many of you guys believe the Bible today? Anybody here? You know the Bible just told you? You have an envious spirit in there. Every single one of you. We have something wrong with me. That's you and I. Every single day, that man wakes up, that woman wakes up, and all of a sudden, that spirit of envy begins to want to tell you what you need to do. But verse number 6, he giveth more grace. Aren't you glad about that? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So what's the formula? I need to submit myself to God. I need to resist the devil. And in my prayer and in my Bible reading at that very moment, when I draw near to God, God said he'll draw near to me. So that's what I talked about to you earlier in 2 Corinthians 10. It's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Friend, here's what that looks like. It comes. That motion is coming in there. That thought is coming in. It's wanting to drive you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. So what do? I go to God. I submit myself to God in my heart, and I call upon him, and I say, Heavenly Father, you know this thing in me. I don't want to do it, God. And I know it wants to remind me of pleasures and shame and sin, like the Bible says. But God, I'm coming to you. I'm taking a hold of that thought. I'm getting a hold of this desire, and I'm going to bring it to you, God. I don't want the devil out here in my heart. I don't want him in my home. I don't want him here in my workplace. I'm going to resist that temptation. You know what God said? When he sees you drawing near to him, there is an ordination. There is a law. Every single time Christians come to him versus going to the devil has to flee. But what happens if you don't submit to God? What happens if you don't draw near to God? Well, because you didn't do the first part, the devil doesn't have to flee. He's going to hang out in your home. He's going to hang out in your relationship. He's going to hang out with you while no one's looking in the privacy of your home. He's going to hang out with you at work. Why? Because you are entertaining Lord Satan, murmur, Romans 6, you are serving the master to whomsoever you obey, whether it's sin unto death or righteousness unto life, so on and so forth. So when I don't submit to God because I'm entertaining the flesh, devil's right there hanging out, egging me on. Yeah, do it. Yeah, talk about that Christian. Yeah, you know they deserve it. You deserve better. Come on. It's okay if you just do this in secret behind your spouse's back. It's okay if you keep watching things on your cell phone when no one's looking. It's okay if you... No. Wait a second. I know I shouldn't do that. That's the new man beginning to remind you. Man, God, help me with this thought. God, I'm coming to you right now. Here's the thought. Here's the desire. I'm going to take this thing into control. Father, would you please help me? Jesus, I'm calling upon you. Deliver me. The devil has to flee every time you do that. And you know what's going to happen? When one goes, one comes. And who's that? That's God. The Spirit of God will fill you. So what's the equation? What's the formula? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God. When you yield and submit to God, remember, you're going to be able to get a hold of that. Because God is the strength. You'll be able to overcome that because God's power will help you to overcome that. You got to submit those thoughts to God, brother and sister. You got to submit those desires to God, brother and sister. You got to submit those lusts and those struggles and those secret things that no one else knows but you and God. And you got to resist the devil. When those temptations come from the tempter, you know, like the scripture says in Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, "They're above all taking the shield of faith, whereby or wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Every time those fiery darts are shot into your mind, you know, to tempt you. And then eventually, where do they travel? They travel to the heart, and it becomes a what? A desire. It's the last step before it turns into sin before God where you have to resist. You got to resist. And then you got to draw near to God through prayer and reading the Bible and meditation upon the words of God. And it's then that, friend, you will see the power of the Holy Spirit move within you to resist and overcome and not yield to the flesh, but to God. So what are we talking about this afternoon? How to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ made us free. It's shot. It comes here. And then it goes down here. Because why? I'm entertaining the thought. You see, the temptation is not a sin per se. It's out here. Here's the object. Here's the temptation. Here's the person. Here's the individual. Here's the invisible temptation, the anger, the wrath, the bitterness, and all that. It gets shot in there. But then it travels down to your heart because now you're thinking about it. You're meditating upon it. It's that last step. If you don't resist, you're going to give in to it, brother and sister, Galatians 5. Or if you do resist and you submit to God, you will have the victory. It's that last step. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter 5, our base text, Galatians 5. We already know what the Bible says from verses 2 through 4. Circumcision has nothing to do with New Testament Christianity. The law of the Old Testament given to the nation of Israel has nothing to do with the New Testament Christian gospel. If Christians try to live by the law, they're not going to have any victory over the flesh. We already talked about that in depth. We've exposited to you how the law of Moses cannot produce within sinners righteous living, power to resist sin, devil. Only the power of the gospel of Jesus could do that, and the sealing presence of the Holy Spirit when you and I are yielding to him in love. Verses 5 through number 12, we've already talked about this in depth. I want to focus now on verse number 7. Many of you are Christians here today. I don't doubt your salvation. I've already asked you. You've been saved. Some of you, I've baptized you. You've been baptized by others. I don't doubt that you believe you're going to go to heaven when you die. But here's what I do doubt. I doubt when you say you're loving God and you're trying your best, when outwardly there is a manifestation of the flesh, I doubt that you are letting the Lord Jesus guide you. Because the Bible just told us that when we manifest the flesh, we are serving another master, and that's Satan. And in those moments when you get hindered, when you get tempted, the Bible says, friend, that persuasion is not God in you. That hindrance is not God in you. That's a someone else. That's a some other thing. Look at verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion coming out of him that calleth you. A little what? Leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. Let's talk about that. Why the warning of leaven? How does leaven affect our New Testament Christian faith from being a fruitful believer and follower of Christ? Because God defines leaven as a corrupting influence all throughout the scriptures. And below, we will study a few Bible verses as examples to help us to be aware of this influence and how we can identify it around us in our lives in order to what? Avoid it. So, the word leaven. Let me give you the definition first, and then we'll go to the Bible. Leaven, first definition, a mass of sourdough, which, when mixed with a larger quantity of dough or paste, produces fermentation in it and renders it light. Brother Felipe was a baker back in the day. He understands. Some of you guys cook. You guys know about those things, right? But during the Passover, for the Old Testament Hebrews there, they couldn't allow not one amount of leaven in their homes. You can read that in Exodus chapter 12. Number two, anything which makes a general change in the mass. I want you to hear now. What is leaven? Definition number two, anything which makes a general change in the mass. It generally means something which corrupts or depraves that with which it is mixed. So I like the definition, and it's going to line up with the Bible. When I allow a little leaven in my life, you know what it's going to do? It's going to change everything else in my life. When I allow a little leaven back into my relationship with my spouse, it's going to affect my entire relationship with my spouse. If I allow a little leaven in my relationship with Jesus as I'm a single Christian, it's going to mess up my entire relationship with Jesus. Let's go ahead and talk now. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16, let's go there. Matthew 16. Let's talk about leaven. And let's let the Lord Jesus teach us from the Holy Bible why we need to be aware of it, why we need to be, if you will, mindful. I'm sorry, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. That's the first one. The second one is Matthew 16. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. What is the general application that we are going to learn today? When you and I allow some small amount or portion of a corrupting agent into our relationship with God, it will have an effect in your relationship with God. You cannot argue against the Bible. I don't care how spiritual a brother or sister might feel with their doctrine, their knowledge. As soon as you let that one thing come back, it's going to mess you up. So look with me now. Matthew 13:33. The Bible says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What did the woman do? She secretly intermingled leaven into the meal. And what did it do? It corrupted the whole meal. What's the idea? Just a little amount of a corrupting agent, it messed up the whole bread. When you and I, once again, allow someone or something to introduce a small amount or portion of a corrupting agent or influence, over time, if you don't take it out, if you don't cut that thing out, if you don't purge it out, like the Bible's going to tell us later, it's going to corrupt the whole. Let me give you some examples. Marriages, for those of you who are married, husband and wife, just a little light personal communication with folks of the opposite sex could turn into something bad. Just the way you look at someone. You know, just the way you have a secret conversation with a girl or a man who's not your wife or spouse. Just a little flirting, it's going to mess everything up in your marriage. For those of you who are single, just hanging out with a guy or girl privately, it could turn into something bad over time if you don't get a hold of that. How about those of you who like movies? I know the entertainment thing is a big deal, but do you know just a little bit of nudity, a little bit of vulgarity coming through the TV, the smartphone, or the dumb phone, it could turn into something bad. Friend, I think you get the idea. Whenever you and I allow just a little bit of leaven back into our relationship with Jesus, it's going to mess our fellowship up with Jesus. No matter how spiritual you think you are, you're watching a soap opera. There's some drama going on. Why? Because a girl is gossiping about a guy behind her back. What is that doing to you, sister? Brother, what is that doing to you to see women exposing their cleavage on the social media movie or with your spouse watching it in the entertainment of your home, a movie, because you just like it, you grew up with it, but they're cursing. These parents are cursing at their children in those movies, entertainment. The children are doing something bad they shouldn't do. What are you doing? It's going to hinder your relationship with Christ just a little bit, and then over time, if it doesn't go removed, it's going to corrupt the whole. So I want you to see, what did Galatians 5 say? Ye did run well. Who did hinder thee that you should not obey the truth? It's your problem, and it's your fault when you allow the leaven to come back into where? Your heart. That's why I told you, brother and sister, you cannot keep blaming flesh. You don't war against the flesh. You can't blame your husband, your spouse, your children, the government, the white man, the black man. You can't blame none of that. You can't even blame the devil. You got to blame that heart when it goes unchecked and you just like that leaven. Get that thing out of there, y'all. Get some more Bible in there. Matthew 16. Let's go there. It's getting a little hot, amen. We got to turn that AC on. Matthew 16. Bible's good. What are we doing? We are just letting Jesus purify us. We're letting the Holy Spirit take the Holy Bible, not Brother Carlos, not our church, because I'm a wretched man. Some of y'all have found that out a long time ago. All we're doing is taking God's word so we can continue to let God purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's all I want to be. I just want to be a brother who lets God clean. That's all. That's all. I like coming to church. It's like a washing machine. I come in dirty, I leave clean. Amen. How about that? That's a good analogy. You can write that down, Philippe. Amen. That's free. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, then Jesus, well, let's read verse number 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, naturally, just like any one of us, if you were following Christ, you know, you forgot to take bread, you know. You guys are hungry throughout the day. Y'all be snacking on them old school little, what are snacks with bread nowadays? The little toasted bread, you know what I'm talking about? Pretzels, Ritz, you know. And we forgot some snacks. Jesus told us, you know, watch out for that stuff. I think naturally any of us would kind of reason like that. Look at verse 7. They reasoned by themselves saying, it's because we've taken no bread. But when Jesus perceived, look at verse number 8, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? So he's not talking about physical bread. Notice what he said, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then, verse number 12, understood they how that he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Example number 2 of leaven that the Bible describes. Leaven can be defined as corrupting doctrine. Listening to supposedly a Christian who is going to teach you something that they think is spiritual from the Bible. But what is the outcome? It corrupts your relationship with Christ. It corrupts your relationship with other Christians in your church. You have to be aware of that. And I'm going to give you an example. Some of this might rub you the wrong way. I'm just giving you a preface. You got to let me minister to you and love as your pastor. I love you dearly. And the reason I'm going to warn you ahead of time is because all of us have entertained some of these Christians nowadays through our smartphones. And when they come off with a certain way, I'm going to let you know that that is leaven. Don't do it. Don't follow their example. Now, let me give you 3 times. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read them quickly. Matthew 22:29. Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 22:33, whenever the Pharisees and the Sadducees opposed Christ's doctrine, they erred. The Bible says in that moment, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 12:24, Jesus answered them, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? He says the same thing in Mark chapter 12. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I need you guys to really be spiritual now, amen, because if the Bible begins to cut off some of that leaven that you heard from a brother or sister, cut it off. It doesn't belong in your relationship with God. It doesn't belong in this local church. Wherever you're going to see some other Christian either teach you something that contradicts what we're going to read today or come off in their conduct and their conversation, how they're communicating and the corruption, all that stuff with their communication, if you see something contrary to what the Bible says and how they're coming off, you need to cut those off. Cut them off. I want you to know, listen. If you have ears to hear, amen, then hear it up. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says here, but speak thou the things which become what? Sound doctrine. I want you to understand, when the Bible uses the phrase sound doctrine, it's not a general, if you will, synopsis of what generally a lot of Christians like to say, sound doctrine, like we got to believe the Trinity. You know, we got to believe salvation's by grace through faith. We got to believe the Bible's the word of God. That's not necessarily what sound doctrine is defined, if you will, in the Bible. You want to see what sound doctrine is in the Bible? Just read a couple of verses for an example. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patience. That's sound doctrine. According to the Spirit of God, the pastor is supposed to be teaching you, the members, the men, be sober. Be grave. What is that? Cool, spirited. Be temperate. Control yourself. Sound in faith, charity, patience. That's sound doctrine. You see, we're not talking about like a doctrine of understanding from the Bible, like, you know, the creation or stuff like that. You see how that is? Look at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So that way older Christian women can teach younger Christian women. Look at verse number 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and so on and so forth. What about you, young men? Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing corruptness, and so on and so forth. So what am I just trying to show you? Sound doctrine isn't just focusing on like bullet points of the faith, right? We believe in the King James Bible. That's not sound doctrine. That's a conviction. That's a preference. What is sound doctrine? Teach women to love their husbands. Teach husbands to be cool, calm-spirited, control their behavior, and how they treat their spouses. That's sound doctrine. What's sound doctrine? Teach children how to love their parents. That's sound doctrine. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's what the Bible's saying there, too, Titus 2. So, according to the Holy Ghost, we are commanded to teach you sound doctrine. Yeah, I think you and I are in agreement. Amen? Let's go to chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look with me now. Verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to do obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We already talked about that. Some of you guys have an employer. You know what sound doctrine is, Christian friend. If you work for someone and you're not your own boss, you obey your boss. You obey your supervisor. If they say, I need you to take care of this, you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Why? You're a Christian. This is what your sound doctrine is going to be. It's going to look like when it's manifested when you're obeying the Lord. Remember that. Okay. Verse 2. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers. But what does it say? Gentle, showing what? Meekness unto how many men? What does it say? All men. So listen to me now as your pastor in love. Brother and sister, if and when I ask privately you to avoid listening to certain teachers or preachers or pastors or whatever influencer I hear that I can demonstrably prove by the Bible that walk contrary to sound doctrine in conduct or practice, please remember that it's because the Bible told me to do so in love, because I'm watching over your soul. I'm not watching over your money. I'm not watching over what you eat. I'm not watching over all your liberties you have. I am watching over your spiritual maturity and your spiritual growth. The Bible told you in Titus 2:15, these things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. So just listen up now. I'm just telling you the Bible. I despise listening to Christians who have built their ministry or their church, what they call online or online YouTube or online whatever, not by door-to-door soul winning, not by going downtown to share the gospel, passing out tracts, if you will, but they do so by spending their time and doing nothing more than speaking evil about other Christians and their ministries, and they attack their person, they attack their hairstyle, they attack their demeanor, they attack their speech. Guys, I will not name them online right now before you for the sake of charity, but I will point them out to you privately if I see that leaven beginning to creep into this church. You say, why? Because I care about sound doctrine. I care about sound practice of the faith, that you keep looking like Christ and not the men of Christ. Look at what the Bible told you, believer. And you say you are a Bible believer, and you say I have the King James Bible, and you can read Greek and Hebrew. Look at what the Bible says. Don't speak evil of no man. Don't be a brawler. You need to be gentle, and you need to show meekness unto all men, the Bible says. What did Christ tell us about? Watch out for the leaven of who? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. What did he tell you about? The doctrine of the Pharisees and the doctrine of the Sadducees. Here's the leaven. It comes through on a YouTube channel because it suggests to me, I've been listening to this kind of channel, so the algorithms are building up, and for some reason I've been listening to some pastor teacher call out this guy or call out that guy, and it begins to, this guy begins to disrespect this Christian, don't watch this guy, here's everything wrong with that guy, and all of a sudden my flesh begins to be aroused. I'm not committing adultery, I'm not hearing, if you will, vulgarity as much, if you will, but you know what I am being aroused by? I'm being aroused to have an evil heart towards a Christian. I'm being aroused to speak evil about the Christians that I've never even met. But because this one guy builds up his platform by calling out and condemning every Christian on the planet, even though I've never met them, they're not my friends, I don't know who they are, for all I know, they could be the best friend that I needed. But all of a sudden, because I listen to this one guy who thinks he's spiritual, critiquing everybody else but himself in his camp, all of a sudden, I'm going to treat that Christian wrong, that church wrong, that ministry wrong. Why? Because evil is being spoken. You know what the Bible says? You need to be meek unto who? All men. So what do you need to be aware of? You need to be aware of the doctrine of a Pharisee or a Sadducee that comes into your relationship with God, comes into your relationship with your church, comes in between your relationship and your pastor when your pastor is preaching behind this pulpit charity, love, forgiveness, forbearance. We love all Christians who preach the gospel. We support all Christians who believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They might dress differently than we do. That's all right. They might do certain things a little bit differently. The men, we read at our men's Bible study. Remember that, Philippe and Giovanni? We read 1 Corinthians 12. Different administrations, same spirit. Different operations, same God. Different, if you will, gifts, same Lord. Did we not read that? So then what do I need to do? I need to watch out for that leaven when it comes through another Christian, because we're learning that Christians can still walk out of the flesh. Remember that, Galatians 5. And when that guy or that girl's doctrine begins to stir within me, man, it's okay to treat others like that. It's okay to call out those guys and name call and name bash and make fun of their hair and call others dumb because they don't agree with me, or heretics because they don't look at a system like they do me. You know what you're going contrary to? Sound doctrine. When you begin to listen to that doctrine, you are not listening to the Holy Spirit of God. You're listening to a man. I don't care if they have a tie. I don't care if they have a King James Bible or not. The minute that the spirit of that man begins to go contrary to sound doctrine, we are no longer learning from Christ. We are learning from a Cephas, an Apollos, a Paul. We are beginning to become divided, like 1 Corinthians 3 tells us. We're beginning to go back to baby status because, remember, when you and I were elementary kids, oh, he made me feel bad, and she pointed out to me. In other words, we are digressing back to childhood-like personalities when we can't get along with someone, even though they believe the same God you believe in, same way you believe in. The next time that you listen to those online guys, because you will, remember my words this day and mark them down every time that they make a statement that attacks another Christian for whom Christ died to save, for whom Christ shed his blood, for whom Christ put the thorns on his head and the nails in his hands to just save that sinner. The next time you hear that Christian begin to belittle, to defile, to mock, to critique the person, not the doctrine, the individual, I need you to remind yourself, that's not God in you. That's not God through them. That's the flesh. It's not what God is ministering to you through your local pastor. Of course not. If your local pastor is preaching and teaching charity, love, forbearance, verse by verse of the Bible to go over everything, but the online guy is calling others dumb, false, heretics because of opposing views, you better care more about Christ's commands than that man's commands, because one died for you and the other didn't. One can only help you on the outside while the other one can help you on the inside. One is not the Holy Spirit, the other one, spirit of envy, lusting in that body. You say, brother, who are you talking about? Ask me in private, I'll tell you. But I'm just going to keep it general for the sake of charity. In the end of the day, you got to watch out for that leaven that can creep into you, into your church, and before you know it, we just want to treat others like this, and we want to treat others like that. And before you know it, you begin to call out everybody. We're not going to tolerate that in this church. If that influence is not helping you to be more like Christ in your marriage, it's not tolerated here. If that influence is not helping you in your single state to be faithful to your church, serving in your church and being a help to your church members, that's not tolerated, and that's not sound doctrine. The other mentions that you can read, so you can cross-reference what Brother Carlos is teaching you, 1 Timothy 1:10, 2 Timothy 4:3, Titus 1:9, Titus 2:1, about sound doctrine, church, I'm telling you, if we don't purge it out, it will negatively impact us. I've talked to some good friends of mine in the past, and I've warned them with as much charity as I could. I said, brother, that's wrong how they're treating Christians. This is okay for us to do, or we can talk to other Christians who believe the Bible because Christ is the focus. The gospel is the focus, and whoever believes in him is saved. We're going to go to heaven together when we die. But if you just keep listening to some guy keep telling you, everybody's wrong, everybody's wrong, heretic, 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 that's going to influence you. It's going to change your spirit. Before you know it, no wonder why you can't be charitable. And you're not ready to preach, if you will, or you're not ready to do that. Because the Bible says you've been called to be meek unto who? All men. So I'm showing you the Bible today. This is not Brother Carlos. This is not Simple Faith Baptist Church tradition. This is the Holy Bible telling us, Christians, all of you, if you call yourself a Christian and you say you're sound in the faith and you have this, but if you are not showing meekness unto all men, it's because you got leaven in that heart. It's because you've been listening to some leaven of a Pharisee or a Sadducee that's been changing how you need to be listening to Jesus Christ in you. Now let's go back to Galatians 5. We're going to close. Why am I so adamant about that? Because I've had to deal with that. Why am I so adamant about that? Because I used to be like that. Guys, I've gone up to pastors personally, and I said, brother, will you forgive me? Because I disrespected you. I spoke evil about you, and I don't even know who you really are. And personal pastors, friends of mine, I've said, brother, I'm sorry because I disrespected you when I taught this. Shouldn't have done that. You've proven yourself faithful. I'm sorry. I wonder if you and I have enough charity in our hearts to say, I'm sorry to a person that you've spoken evil about, that Christ told you not to do, and you did it anyways. And now that you're learning the truth for the first time, I hope you have enough love for God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible, to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not being sound. I'm sorry for speaking evil to you. I know I shouldn't have done that. It's okay if we dress differently. It's okay if we look at things differently. Yeah, you go to that church, I go to the church, it's okay. But man, Jesus saved you too. That blood was shed for you too. Man, brother, we're going to heaven when we die, man. What am I doing wasting time with this leaven over here? It's making me not want to be your friend. Galatians chapter 5, let's close. Verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So what's the calling? Let's keep it contextual. Some of you guys, I know you guys are learning more of the Bible. You guys are kind of following along now with context. What's the calling here in Galatians chapter 5? You can learn it. Watch this. Look with me now. I know you're here. Verse 13. Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of flesh, but by love what? Serve one another. That's what you've been called in to do. So now, as we close, what am I talking about? I just want you to hear now. I want you to focus on this. According to the Bible, you have been called into liberty. Christ's death on the cross, burial, and resurrection provided you power to be able to love people, to be able to put up with people that are not worthy of it, to be able to generate within you an ability to restrain your thoughts and to control yourself when they go contrary to the cross of Christ and when they are entertaining your flesh and the motion of sin. Guys, the gospel provided you power to be able to go to God and say, God, help me with this. I don't want to. And then outwardly and then practically for people around you, you know what the gospel provided you? The ability to choose love to serve other people. Verse 15. I'm going to prophesy now, so listen. I'm going to prophesy. Whoa, Brother Carlson, I'm going to prophesy. Luke 15. Some of you are going to ignore what I just taught you today. And you know what? It's okay. I still love you. Some of you are still going to bite. Some of you are still going to devour. Some of you are still going to listen to those guys online and listen how they treat others, mock others. You're still going to take heed to that leaven. You're going to do that. But can I just tell you, before you consume other believers, before it just completely overtakes you, can you just remind yourself of this one thing? That Christ, that's not the persuasion from him, verse number 8. That's a little leaven. It's not the Lord. It's just flesh. Long time ago, in antiquity, you know what they used to do for entertainment in Rome? They used to have people kill each other. You know the gladiators, remember that, guys? You know what your entertainment is as an American? Boxing. People fighting. Just, oh, there's something about evil and like, yeah, somebody just dying or getting killed. Or some of you women, you might not watch the MMA, you might not watch boxing. Some of you women, you like to watch entertainment with gossips and drama and tale-bearing and somebody did this. And what am I trying to tell you? It's natural within our bodies to entertain all this flesh of envy and strife and variance, and it just comes in different ways. Now you're a Christian, a little sanctification, but I'm just telling you, how can you identify if it's good for me? How can I identify if it is not of him that calleth me? Well, go back to the Bible. Is it helping me, and is it provoking within me love to serve my church? Love to help Christians? Or is it moving me and provoking me to bite? Is it provoking me to devour with my words and with my thoughts and with my actions and with my deeds? That's not Christ in you. That's your flesh. That's your spirit that lusts to envy when it's aroused by that guy and that guy and that guy and this girl. All right, so what am I going to leave you with? Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what are the three things before we close? Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. When the thoughts come, they're aroused because they're going to come. Okay? Control the thought. Draw near to God in prayer. And ask the Father to help you. And give that thought to Jesus. Give that thought to Jesus. Bring them to the obedience to who? Christ, the Bible says. There you have it. So not your pastor, not your church. Give it to Jesus. So you're doing that. Draw near to God. You know what the Bible promised you? He will draw near to you. The devil will flee. But what am I warning you? If you don't do that, you don't submit to God, you don't draw near to God, the thoughts go uncontrolled, and if you will, you entertain it, the devil is going to hang out as long as you let him. And that's why you're not going to grow. So if you want to grow, you want to stay in the liberty that Christ made you free, do what he taught you today in the Bible. And I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it at the end of the day when you see him in glory. He is going to commend you for your love for him and love for others. He is not going to commend you for your hatred towards him and hatred towards others. You understand? Let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the truths that you've put in the Bible that keeps all of us connected and convicted, whereby we would have no excuse on who to entertain and who not to entertain, who to watch, who not to watch, who to listen to, who not to listen to. I thank you, God, that you gave us a command that today, without a shadow of a doubt, we have to listen to Jesus Christ. Father, I think it's safe to say that all of us Christians, we might eat differently, we might dress differently, we might work in different vocations and how we get there and what we do. We do all that differently. But God, I know it's safe to say today, we have to listen to Jesus. We must submit to Jesus. We must let Jesus command us and direct our hearts, and we must let the Holy Ghost rule over our bodies and our hearts and our minds through the Word of God. Today, I can safely say, Father, I think we all can agree on that. And Father, wherever one of these, your children today, are entertaining leaven, whether through a social media platform, whether through a movie, whether through a temptation, whatever that leaven is trying to come back in between you and them, God, I pray that today they learn how they can have the victory, how they can purge it out, how they can let you show them, God, your power, mighty, to help them to overcome that. Father, for any one of us here today that are being spiritual, trying our best to do right before you, loving others, doing our best with the Bible, doing our best to come to church, God, strengthen them today. Lord, thank you for the brethren that are making more of an effort to come to this church and be more faithful servants. It's an encouragement to me. Thank you for the sisters, God, that are serving here in this church, being a blessing to our youth, coming out so winning, God. Keep that love. Please, Lord Jesus, keep that provoking of the Spirit of God in our hearts to take that faith and to work it out by loving and serving one another. God, keep the leaven out of this church. Keep the spirit of the Pharisees out of this church. Keep that false doctrine of the Sadducees out of this church so we can let the Holy Ghost run this church from the Holy Bible. God, thank you. Forgive me when it's me, God. And I hope that you would help me to forgive them when it's them. Father, I thank you for every single one of them. Thank you for today. Lord, direct us, help us for the rest of this day to look like Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. Church, I love you. May the Lord bless you. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. Keep us in prayer, church. For those of you who want to go with us, we're going to get ready to leave. And it should be a blessing if you'd like to join us. May the Lord bless.